In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the reading from Acts, we hear how Paul saw the presbyters of the church of Ephesus for the last time. And he gave an account of himself to them, and he calls them to witness that he's fulfilled his obligations as an apostle to them. And you should ask, why did St. Paul need to do that? St. Paul had a clean conscience before God, and God was the one he was ultimately going to give an account to. But he had established this church, and he was speaking to the spiritual leaders of this community that he had established, and he was trying to model to them and impress upon them the seriousness with which they needed to take their responsibilities before God. In the church, the bishops, who are the successors of the apostles, have the highest level of responsibility before God. After them come the priests and the deacons, and then the minor clergy, such as the readers and the subdeacons, but it doesn't stop there. Each of us, depending on what positions of authority we may have in the church or in our homes, will have to give an account to God as well. And so this reading doesn't just concern bishops or the clergy, but it concerns each and every one of us. And St. Paul said to the elders, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." So St. Paul lived a life that matched his message. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. And he didn't let the fear of persecution prevent him from teaching. He knew that there were people who were out to get him. He knew there were people who were looking for any way they could to get him arrested or even to have him killed. But he taught both publicly and privately from house to house whenever he had the opportunity, and he didn't hold anything back that was profitable to those that heard him. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." St. Paul knew what awaited him. He knew that he was facing imprisonment, trials, hardships, and ultimately a martyr's death. But none of this kept him from doing what he knew he needed to do. "Wherefore I take to you record this day," in other words, I'm calling you to be witnesses, "that I am pure or innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." And when it talks about "I've not shunned," in other words, St. Paul is saying, I wasn't fearful, I didn't keep from preaching to you the whole counsel of God because I was afraid of persecution. So what does this tell us? One thing it tells us is that there is a whole counsel of God. We don't get to pick and to choose which parts of the teachings of the church we like, and we aren't responsible only for the top 40 teachings of Scripture or the apostolic traditions. It's the whole counsel of God. And if I was inventing my own religion, I would have invented a religion that would look very different than the one that I've joined. But I want a true religion, not a made-up one. I wouldn't have invented a religion that has half the year us fasting, I can tell you that. And next week when we do the kneeling vespers, I wouldn't have had that in there either. But we have a whole tradition, a whole teaching. We have all the scriptures that tell us what it is that we're supposed to do as Orthodox Christians. And we are like little children that don't know what's good for us. If you ask my granddaughter whether she ought to brush her teeth before she goes to bed, she'd say, no, no. Because she doesn't know that if she doesn't brush her teeth, she's going to get cavities and her teeth are going to go bad. God knows what's good for us. He knows what's good for us better than we do by a long shot. And so he has provided us with the guidance that we need, and we need to follow it all and not just part of it. St. Paul was responsible to teach it all. And the elders whom he was speaking to were responsible in turn to pass it on. And the people that they passed it on to were responsible to learn the whole counsel of God. And they were also responsible to live their lives in accordance with the whole counsel of God and to pass it on to their own children. St. Paul had the greatest responsibility here. He wasn't just responsible to obey the teachings of Christ himself. He was responsible for passing it on without any omission. But by doing so, he could say that he was innocent of the blood of all these people because he knew that he was going to have to answer to God for them, whether he had given them the full gospel, whether he had given them the full teachings of the church so that they could be saved. No one on the day of judgment would be able to say that St. Paul had failed to teach them what they needed to hear. But all those who were taught by St. Paul, while they were not all tasked with teaching the church, they all had a responsibility for living it out themselves. And if they had children, if they had anyone who was under their authority, they were responsible for ensuring that their children were taught these things as well. Then he warns them. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." The elders were responsible to take heed of St. Paul's teachings in their own life, but also to feed the flock, their people. And he warned them of the coming of heresies that would rise up from their own midst. As a matter of fact, today we celebrate the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, and that council was called to condemn a heresy that was taught and became quite a widely spread heresy by a presbyter, someone of the same rank of the people that St. Paul was speaking to, and that was Arius. He was a presbyter of the Church of Alexandria. He taught a heresy, and maybe he was just mistaken at first, but where he really messed up, because being wrong is not what sends you to hell. It's refusing to be corrected that sends you to hell. Why is the church concerned about heresy? Heresy is a bum steer on the path to salvation. And so when the church hears someone saying something that's going to mislead people, the church will correct them. So that person's not going to be cut off from the church just because they were mistaken. But when they refuse to be corrected, that's when the church will cut them off, and that's what happened at the First Ecumenical Council. St. Paul was modeling to these elders how seriously they should take their responsibilities and how diligently they should go about feeding their flock, living a life that's above reproach, not seeking their own gain, but giving themselves to their work and to their flocks, and to realize that they could only fulfill this obligation by the work of God's grace in their lives. It's the responsibility of the bishops and the clergy to teach the whole counsel of God, and also to live lives that match their teachings. But those of you who are parents have a similar responsibility to teach your own children and ensure that you see to it that you live your lives in accordance with what you teach so that they can grow up to be godly men and women. Just imagine a parent who raised a child and did not give them enough of an education to where they could become independent, go out and get a job, and become productive citizens. anybody with any sense would look at parents like that and say, what kind of parents are you? But as important as it is to raise children that are able to put food on the table and to be productive citizens, it's a lot more important that we raise our children to be productive members of the church that bear the fruits of the Spirit, and that they save their own souls as well as their own children in turn. When we reach the end of our lives, we should all endeavor to be able to say that we are innocent of the blood of the people that we are responsible for spiritually. We can't make the choices for them, but we are responsible for how we guided them and how we made sure that they had every opportunity to know what they needed to do and to do it. We want to be able to say that we lived up to what it means to be a Christian and that we passed it on to those we have responsibility for completely, not failing to teach everything that is necessary because it wasn't fashionable or because we didn't want to offend other people. There's a lot of teachings of the church that are out of style these days, and if you fail to pass that on to your children, you're failing as a parent. You're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you're failing yourself as a Christian. We have to teach them the whole counsel, regardless of what the world thinks, and pray and endeavor by our own lives and examples to help them to become the godly men and women that we want them to be. Amen.